8, 5 through 8. Romans 8, 5 through 8. And it says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but to those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And notice how so much it says the mind of the flesh. Right, this is it. We're in a mind war. This is the whole mind game. That's the whole battle that we are in right now. See, before we got saved, it was a mind, soul, and spirit battle going on, right? But guess what? When you receive Christ, you get the Christ nature as a new person in Christ as your spirit. Your spirit becomes born again. It is perfect unto the Lord. So when the Lord sees you, he's, of course, looking at the real you, your spirit. He's seeing the Christ you, right? But guess what? Didn't get saved, your soul or your flesh yet. Well, how do those things get saved? How do those things get changed? Well, that's called the renewing of your mind. And so the goal is your spirit, basically, how God communicates, he talks to your spirit, then your spirit communicates that to your mind, and then your mind communicates that to your flesh and to your being, right? To your actions, right? So that's how this whole thing works, but it starts in the spirit, and then it works its way up to the mind. So now we are in the mind game of our lives. And if we're going to be successful, we're going to need to know how to submit our minds unto God. Amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed that there is nothing your fleshly carnal man hates more than being told what to do? Right? Anybody attest to that? Our flesh seems to live by a common motto: I know what's best for me, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Right? The flesh is selfish. It's always self-serving. We all have these types of thoughts every day. No one living has reached the point in life where their flesh has just given up on its own desires and yielded itself to the Spirit of God. Right? Your flesh will rebel until the day it dies, because trapped within the flesh of man is the sin nature. Right? So when we got saved, we got the God nature in our spirit. What's that? This flesh nature. It has a loud voice to serve self. And it will have that until it passes away. You cannot escape it. I remember a story of Kenneth Hagin or Keith Moore told this, where a guy comes up in a prayer line and asks if you could pray to deliver me from being ever tempted from sin again. And this guy looks at him like, okay, so you want me to pray that you're going to die? No, I don't want that. Well, for you to not be tempted again, that's what's going to have to happen, because the flesh is constantly tempting my spirit to do what it wants to do. It's just until we reach that point of getting our glorified bodies, that's what's going to be so awesome when we go from this life to the next, right? Our flesh, our carnal mind is at enmity. It's hostile towards God. But when we get our glorified bodies, we're not going to have that flesh screaming at us to do those things. We're going to have the Spirit pulling us towards God, and we're going to have our actual glorified bodies pulling us toward God. So there's, you know, a lot of people get worried, oh, what if I sin in heaven? You know, am I going to... You don't realize, it's like, I believe, yes, I think it actually is possible to sin, but guess what? There isn't the pull to sin like we have it here. We can't really imagine that, right? Because our whole... Like, we are tempted with every thought, every desire, constantly. It's just constantly bombarded because we have this flesh, right? But when we don't have this flesh and we have a glorified body, our whole body lines up to the will of God and wants to do it, right? So it's encouraging. It's good to know that, man, I don't have to deal with this forever. I don't have to constantly try to subject my flesh and buffet my body into subjection and beat it to where it's like, all right, do the will of God, do the will of God. It's just going to become almost natural to us because it's all going to be sanctified before the Lord. It's going to be good. Pastor Charles Spurgeon wrote, "A lack of submission is no new or rare fault in mankind. Ever since the fall, it has been the root of all sin. From the moment when our mother Eve stretched out her hand to pluck the forbidden fruit, and her husband joined her in setting up the human will against the divine, the sons of men have universally been guilty of the lack of conformity to the will of God. They choose their own way and will not submit their wills. They think their own thoughts and will not submit their understanding. They love earthly things and will not submit their affections. Man wants to be his own law and his own master." Right? But that's not God's will and desire. He's a much better master than we ever could be. Amen. Right? We've all made some pretty dumb choices, right? We all do things that's like, why on earth? It didn't help me. It didn't help those around me. What am I doing trying to make the decisions in my life, especially the important ones, right? It's not a good idea. Romans 8:12 through 13. Romans 8:12 through 13 says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit and are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body, you will live forever." How many want to live forever? I don't want to live forever in my fleshly body, sorry. But man, and forever in his presence with his glorified body and a right spirit within me, man, that's a good recipe for the rest of my life right there. I'm excited for that. But it says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's that separation. It causes a destruction. And God doesn't will that for us. I find it interesting that the first promise given for longevity of life happens to tie into, in Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged." Right? Didn't say eat healthy. And, you know, yeah, I highly would recommend that. But at the same time, God, if you want to live a long life, honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. It's just very interesting. This idea of submitting yourselves under people God has placed over you will give you certain promises, right? I mean, submitting ourselves to God. What are the benefits of submitting ourselves to God? Well, every single promise then is yes and amen, right? Without that submission to God, how are you going to receive his healing, his benefits? Right, it's for those that do the word. It's the doers that receive, right? Because remember, the seeds that get planted, you know, we hear the word and the devil can steal it, or we can stomp it out, or we can not water it, right? But when we obey, then we see the fruit of the word. Yes. We'll see it actually come to fruition in our lives and actually a benefit. If honor, what do I have here? If you honor someone in a position over you, in most cases, you will submit to their rules, their guidance, instruction, and correction. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. And the Amplified says, "All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for correction of sin, for correction or conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work." I want to do some good works while I'm on this earth. and I need to be thoroughly equipped. How is that going to happen? Well, I'm going to need the word to instruct, correct, and rebuke me, right? Just the same way if I want to be a good child, I'm going to need to follow the instruction of my parents because they know better than a little child, right? Right? I give this illustration all the time. They know what the light socket can do. They know what the top of the stove can do to your hand, right? So the louder the rebuke, sometimes the louder or the more present danger. So don't get offended sometimes when people rebuke you, you know, because they may see the danger to your soul is at an alarming level. You may be in a sin that's catastrophic to your spiritual and physical well-being, and they may bring a rebuke to you. It's like, how are you going to respond to that? Yeah, you hope that someone brings that in a spirit of love and meekness and humility, but if they don't, it may hold true nonetheless, right? Right? Just because someone may not bring it the way you want them to or the way they should doesn't mean it's any less true. So a lot of times, you know, people in the world can convict you of things. God will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He'll use your boss to sharpen your character, your morals, your ethics. A lot of times we think, oh, it's just the world. They're so evil and so this and so that. Oh, God can still use them. Because guess what? We still have that same flesh nature. And sometimes we submit to it. And so they're in a direct position to correct that. Even though they're not saved, even though they don't follow God, but they know that, right? So don't ever put it past, oh, it's just the world. I don't have to receive anything from the world. No, God can definitely use the world. He, and many times in the Bible, he uses worldly men to correct, right, his people. Anyone here want to work for God? Make him the boss, right? The leader, the king, your God, then you must learn to submit to him. Understand, submission is not automatic. We know this. It's not automatic for your kids to submit to you. It's just not. It is the last thing our flesh wants to do. But spiritually and naturally, it will be the most rewarding thing you will ever do, while also the hardest thing, to submit yourselves to God. I mean, just think of Jesus' life and how much he had to submit to the Lord, to walk in his fullness, to walk in his anointing, to walk in his power, the ability to help as many people as he did. It's going to take a submitted life walking in love. So the more you want to help people, the more you're going to have to submit to God. Because that's basically the more you're submitting to love. And the more you're submitting to love, the more you're going to walk in love, right? That's just how it works. So if you want to be a more loving, kind, patient, then you have to submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to love. It's not automatic. So we'll get into the how do we do this? Jesus actually sweat blood. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? It's like, man, talk about the submission that he had to go through. Like, his flesh, I wouldn't want to go hang on a cross for a crime that I didn't commit, get whipped until I'm so unrecognizable that my flesh is just hanging off my body everywhere, getting punched in the face, getting my beard pulled out, while doing nothing wrong, while doing only good my entire life. Oh yeah, you better believe my flesh would fight that. I mean, he was, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, I'll submit. Right? He, out of his love for you, out of his compassion for you, drove him to this submission. And thank goodness, anybody glad that Christ submitted to God the Father? He was able to redeem us from our sin? Whew. Well, the world's wanting the same thing, waiting for the Son and the manifestation of the sons of God, for them to submit themselves unto God so that we can bring deliverance, so that we can bring healing, so that we can bring restitution. Right? That's what they're waiting for us to get our act together and submit to God just like Christ did, to be Christians, right? To be Christ-like. That is what it is. Not everyone who believes and saved is a Christian. Right? To go from a believer or saved to a Christian is to convert into a disciple, which, of course, involves submission. But not just a laxy-daisy thing, right? It's a being a disciple is a serious deal, right? How many know signing up to join the army is a serious deal? They don't play. It's not a joke. Signing up to be an Olympic athlete. You want to go try to compete? Anybody here want to go compete against an Olympic athlete? No, why not? Because they have submitted themselves to the point of extreme conditioning. Right? To be Christ-like is extreme conditioning on your flesh. It is no easy feat. Right? But how many want that? I long for that. I desire that. But good intentions is not good enough. Right? You have to, the rubber needs to meet the road somewhere. Well, where does it all start? Again, the spirit, but after you get saved, it goes up to the mind. Now it's a mind battle. And what you set your mind to is what you are going to do, what you look at, what you listen to. All that stuff ties into what's happening in your mind. So if you need to change, if we need more like Christ, we need to get our minds reading the word, listening to sermons, praying, worshiping more, fellowshipping with one another, all these things. You will never submit if you don't subject your mind to these two spiritual things. It just won't happen. We may attend and wish and hope, but it just never seems to get there. I know, but you know, I'm tired of just not getting there. Right? I'm just tired of that. Right? I'm ready to get somewhere. I'm ready to actually see the miracles Christ did, to love the way Christ did, to move with compassion the way Christ did. That's what we want. Luke 14:27 says, "Anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered my disciple." We got to die to ourselves, to die to this fleshly man with its lusts and desires for non-godly things. Anyone still want to work for Almighty God? Right? Yeah. Now, when you work for somebody, guess what? You're submitted to them. Or you should be. Right? You shouldn't go work to a place that you don't want to submit to. Please don't go work for a company and then try to be the boss. It's not how it should operate, right? Right? If you started a business and you hired an employee to do a certain task and they come in and try to tell you what to do, that's just flat out wrong, right? That's messed up. This is my company. I started. If you want to do your own thing, go start your own. Right? So if we want to work for God, don't try coming into the Christianhood and try to start telling the pastors how to operate and tell your neighbors how to do it. No, you submit yourself. You do what God tells you to do. Right? The Bible says, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Stop trying to correct. And even husband and wives, it's not your goal, your job to like tell your wife or your husband what to do. That's God's. Oh. I think, oh no, the word says, wives submit to your husband. Oh yeah, then it also says, husbands submit to Christ. Love her like Christ loves the Father, and vice versa, right? If you're not submitting to Christ, you have no authority to try to tell her what to do, right? Because you're going to instruct her in the wrong way. If you're not walking in love and in righteousness, you're going to try to instruct her in unrighteousness? That's ridiculous, right? Better that she walks out her own program, right, in fear of her own Lord, right? And same with me. You're accountable. When you stand before God, it's you and him. You're not going to have your spouse there try to interject for you. Oh, Lord, he just didn't know any better. That's not going to happen. It's going to be you and him. in that day. So, if I'm stepping on your toes, just slide them back. Right? God wants you to submit to the authorities in your life. He has placed them there for your benefit, nonetheless. You may not agree and see it, but it'll produce patience in you. Good patience. The path of the Spirit is very clear. It's called the law of love. And love is carried out through actions of obedience. Obedience is only carried out by those who have decided in their hearts and minds to submit themselves to God and to His command of love. You know, God wants you to be willing and obedient. I believe this is what actually falls under submission. It's not just enough to be obedient to an employer, to us, you know, to your parents, to the authorities, to your government. You should also be willing, right? Anybody ever had your told your kids to do something? Like, go clean your room. Okay, fine. You know, it's like, yeah, they went and did it, but that's not the response we're looking for, right? It's like, you understand, you're going to enjoy a clean room, right? When you go to play and you can't even play, you got to go with the family because your room's just a mess. And when you want to go, you know, just being having a clean room is healthy. You'll enjoy it more, right? It's for their benefit and yours, of course, keep your sanity. But at the same time, it's going to help them, right? It's help them stay organized because when they get older in life, well, you're going to want an organized house, or you're just going to live in chaos. Have you ever seen the hoarder shows? It's like they can't even function properly. I mean, you got stuff stacked to the ceiling. You can't even walk down the hallways. How effective is their life? It's like everything's just kind of on halt, on hold. They just this thing is just a problem, right? Don't be a hoarder. You know, let it loose. Start selling some stuff, throwing away stuff. Don't get too connected to things, right? Don't let things have you. It's good to have possessions, but if the possessions have you, if the possessions are possessing you, give them up. Start over, right? Downsize. Anyone ever try running into a thick brush? You know, I'm running down the path, and I know the path goes on the other side of this whole thick brush. I'm just going to take a shortcut. And you're running. You're like, I'll take this shortcut. You try running full speed into thick brush. What's going to happen? Ooh, yeah, you're going down. You're going to be tripping. You're going to be scraping. You're going to come out bloody and beaten by some trees. By some twigs, some things that don't even move, and you're going to walk out black and blue and bloody, right? Why? Because you can't run through that stuff. You weren't intended to, right? I mean, you know, remember the Lord's Prayer? Lord, lead me around temptation. A lot of us are just like, we're running down the path, we're with Christ, and then we see the temptation, and we just run full speed. What do you think is going to happen? That thing's going to leave you bloody and bruised and beaten up. Why? Because his path was around the temptation. But you said, no, I want to go right through that temptation. I'll go through the valleys, over the mountains, right? God's like, no, use some wisdom here. I have a cleared out path. Yeah, it's a narrow path. But it's a cleared out path. The cleared out path is better than the jungle. Stop trying to run through the jungle in life. Better to submit yourself, right? The only way you're going to stay on the path is submitting yourself to the guidance of God. The moment we get off, we become the masters. We think, I can do this better than God. Really? You think you can do something better than God? Well, he's not doing it fast enough. Also, your timing is going to be better. Really? Yeah. Anybody tested that out? I've tested that out. That doesn't work so well. Try to rush things, you know, try to get your way, try to force a promotion, try to force a correction, you know, it's just like force someone's doctrine. You know, it's like, yeah, you can preach and teach, best as much as you can, the best to your ability in a spirit of love and meekness, but doesn't mean they're going to receive it. They got to walk that out on their own, right? You can't force people. It's not subjection, it's submission, right? The Bible says, submit yourselves to God and to other people and to the authorities. Trying to do things in your own power and your own way to get better results than what you could get doing in God's way and his timing is foolishness. You cannot shortcut your way to higher levels of wealth, of knowledge, position, and health by setting yourself in hostility towards God. God's ways and timings may not be the fastest, but it will be the most sustainable and productive path to take by far. Amen. So let's look at what submission means, since we're talking about it so much. To arrange under, to be a subordinate, to subject, to put into subjection, to subject oneself, to obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. Not things we want to hear, right? Not stuff my flesh wants to hear. I'll tell you that much. Well, these definitions are helpful. It can be even more enlightening to see where it appears in the New Testament. There are over 36 such occurrences of this word submission, submit, subject in the New Testament. Seeing how the word is used helps to clarify its meaning. You can also see that each relationship involves an entity that has authority over another or an entity that is considered under another in some way, right? Submission entitles someone being over you or them submitting under, right? It's a, you know, God's a God of order. Are you equal to God? Are you above God? Are you beneath God? Beneath, right? Well, same goes with many other institutions and things that are that God has set up. If he tells us submit to the governing authorities, well, guess what? If we're going to obey God, we have to obey the governing authorities. Of course, as long as they are not in opposition to the will of God. As, you know, if long as it's not causing you to sin, but we'll get into that at the end. Because it's a touchy subject. You know, who am I supposed to submit to? To what bounds? To what limits? To what... You know, so that's what we're going to get into. But we're going to read the scriptures and see where the Bible uses that. Where that's the best way to, right, to form doctrine and belief on, say, submission is to, well, where was it used in the word? How was it used? What's its context? So we're just going to read. So as far as Jesus submitting to his parents, in Luke 2:51, it says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." So even Jesus was subject and submitted to his parents. Demons subject to the disciples and to Christ. In Luke 10:17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "The Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." In Luke 10:19-20, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." All right, even the devils have to submit to us, which in reality, they're submitting to Christ in us. And in reality, they're submitting to God, you know, from Christ. So every person, as far as scriptures for people submitting to governing authorities, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Romans 13:1. Titus 3:1. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." 1 Peter 2:13-14. "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." As far as submitting to the spirits of the prophets, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And Jesus submitting himself being, or all things being submitted to Jesus. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, when the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:27 through 27. In Philippians 3, so I'm just kind of reading through all these scriptures that have this word, at least in the New Testament, so just bear with me. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. In Hebrews 2:8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. All right, this is talking about God putting all things in subjection to Christ, right? And then he says at the end, but at this moment we do not see it. It's not completed its full work, right? That's going to come in the millennial reign of Christ where he will, or now we have people that are not subjected to Christ, of course, you know, but that will change. That will change in the ages to come, amen? So, yeah, I can't wait, me either. no more politics, no more voting and corruption and just lies. What's that? No more fake news. All this stuff is just like, man, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, this democracy is the best way. Actually, that's not how God set it up. He set up for kingship. That was the way he wanted to be king over Israel and have no man ruling over Israel, but they wanted to be like all the other nations and have a king, a manly king over them. I mean, that didn't turn out as well as they were hoping it would, right? So God's end way of government is kingship with file and rank and not this democratic process, because men are corrupt, right? It's like they have this flesh nature, you and me. We have this, man, when power is presented, it tends to corrupt, right? Takes someone submitted to God to not fall into the corruption and temptation to get off the path. So I'm excited for the age to come with God as king and Christ as king, right? It's going to be good. Angels, authorities, and powers to Jesus. In 1 Peter 3:21 through 22, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Believers being subject to workers in the ministry. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. That's in 1 Corinthians 16:15-16. So it says to be in subjection to those in the ministry that God has placed over you, one to another, in Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This verse is sometimes used to teach a mutual submission that cancels out the roles of authority and submission in marriage. I think I got this quote from somebody on the internet. I think it is more likely that submitting is used here as it is throughout the rest of the New Testament. The verses on this page show that it consistently appears as a response to authority. If we take it that way, does that mean that we are to take turns submitting to each other's authority? I don't think so. That would be confusing. Instead, I believe this verse is a segue to the following section, which about the three relationships that involve authority. So, right, like think of it like a normal household. Like your kids shouldn't be submitting one to another in a sense, right? Because They're not the parent, right? You don't have a right telling him what to do. I tell him what to do, right? This is how it works, right? I'm at the top of the food chain. You are co-equals, right? That's how it is. Also, when it says in the word, submit yourselves one to another. If you're in a congregation like this, yes, we should be like, you want to listen to advice, but when it comes down to it, it's the pastor and it's the leadership team that I'm really submitting myself to. We don't take turns submitting ourselves like one to us, just congregation members. Yeah, we want to have respect and honor one another in that sense, but it's not like they're over me, right? But the pastor God has placed over you, the leadership team God has. If he placed you in this church, he's going to have people in the church that are over you, but not everyone in the church is over you. Everyone understanding that, right? As far as slaves and masters, in Titus 2:9, slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative. In 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. How many know, yeah, we may not have masters or slaves like we think of it, but we have employers, right? And sometimes they do say things and do things that are completely unreasonable, not right, but you still have an obligation to submit, right? That's right. It's easy to submit when you're in agreement with somebody, right? Because really, it's not true submission. That's agreement. If you're just agreeing with only being around those that you agree with, you're not submitting to anybody yet. Only when there's conflict of interest, of thought, of things, that's when submission actually kicks in, right? Our submission to God in Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? In James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, I hear this all the time. Just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you're forgetting the first part of this verse here. It's kind of an important one and a not so easy one. Submit yourselves to God. It's like wanting the rewards without having to do the work. Yeah, boss, I want to work for you, but can you just send me the paycheck without me having to work? That would be great. Fantastic. I like your payout schedule. I like your earnings, but I don't actually want to do the work. Can you just send the money my way, right? No, you submit yourself under them, and then you will reap the rewards. So if the devil's messing with you, right? If you're dealing with death, destruction, stealing, things breaking down all the time, your health is a wreck, the devil's toying with you. He's having his way with you. Something's wrong, right? We can take the hint, right? He has some kind of power over us. There is some area in your life that you are not submitting to God. Because if you were submitting to God, the devil would have no place to attack you in that area. And so you're sitting there confessing the word, I'm confessing the word, I'm resisting the devil. But are you submitting in the area that you need to submit to? You can't just be a name it and claim it. That's like, yeah, I fully believe in name it and claim it, but also in my actions and deeds, right? My actions got to match up with my words. So these verses demonstrate that submission is present where there is a form of authority present that gives us the framework for submission. So submission is a response to authority. Just to make it simple, what is submission? How are you going to respond to authority? When someone in authority tells you to do something, how are you responding? That's going to determine your submission. The best way to respond to authority is to submit yourself to it. The worst response is to rebel and be forced into subjection by the authority. Right? Better obey the law than be subjected by it and suffer the consequences. Right? Those lawbreakers out there, it's like, living on a wild side. You don't want to have to reap the repercussions of disobeying the law and get tossed in jail and all these things. It's like, better to just submit yourself willingly. So I want to list 7 things that submission is not, just to get a little better understanding. Submission is not a personality trait. It is a choice. You choose to submit. It is not forced upon another. Because submission is an attitude of the heart, it becomes a lifestyle choice. Regardless of the circumstance in your life, like I said, those who are willing and obedient, Bible says, will eat the good of the land. You'll receive the fruit of it if you're willing and obedient. It's not just enough to obey. You need to submit willingly, right? That's part of submission, willing, fully doing it. And then you'll see the results. Submission is not the same as agreement. In fact, it only operates when you are not in agreement. Solomon asked the question, how can two walk together lest they agree? The answer to that question is submission. If you're in agreement with someone, it's easy to submit. The difficulty comes when you're not in agreement, but because of your position at work or the Lord's request, you agree to submit your will, your idea, your plan, your desire, even when you might not agree. Right? So that's going to take probably some meditation on, and start thinking of people in your life that you don't agree with. Especially people in authority that you don't agree with. Start seeing yourself reacting in a submissive way, in the right way. Yeah, if it's unbiblical, yeah, don't agree. It's like, I understand that that's what you believe, but this is what the word says. And for now, I'm going to stick to, you know, don't ever submit to the point of going against the word of God, right? And into sin and error and, well, pastor said that I can go and do this or that, and it's clearly wrong in the Bible. Well, he's not subjecting himself to God in that area. So it's like a general, you know, giving orders to their captains or lieutenants, and then the lieutenant's not doing what the general and giving their own instruction. Well, what should you do? Well, if you know the general's instruction, who should you obey? The captain or the general? Well, the general, he is at a higher position of authority. And the captain, lieutenant, is in disobedience trying to give an order that was not given by the general when you know the order. Well, same thing with doctrine and right and wrong. If you know what the word says is the truth, and that's given by God, and man's trying to tell you another way, well, you don't subject yourself to that. Kindfully and respectfully say, no, I'm not, sorry, I can't submit to that. I submit myself more to God in this area. You know, doesn't mean every area is going to be off. There may be certain doctrines that, you know, I or somebody else have different than you that, you know, you may not want to subject yourself to. You know, hopefully that's not the case. But at the same time, go with the word of God above anything else. That's the ultimate authority. Submission is not the same as obedience. Submission comes from the heart. I can obey someone by doing what I'm told, but my heart attitude may not be there. A perfect example is the cartoon of Dennis the Menace sitting in the corner enduring a moment of discipline. The caption reads, I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. Right? Yeah, I'll sit down, but I'm really standing up on the inside. That's not submission. That's obedience. Yeah, you're doing it, but that's not submission. Too funny. There may be moments when you're going to need to act out of obedience before your heart lines up in submission, and that's okay. Right? That's your flesh doesn't want to do what the Spirit wants to do, but sometimes you should need to force your flesh to do it, even though it doesn't want to, right? And then as the more you do it, guess what? The more that voice of the flesh gets less and less. Why? Because you're subjecting it. Paul says, I buffet my body. Basically, he beat his body into subjection. He constantly had to beat his flesh, say, be quiet, and cast these thoughts out. You know, right? He's dealing with his flesh so that he can walk in the Spirit. If you want to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to beat up your flesh a lot because it tries to overpower. It wants to be the strong man. It wants its way. What are you going to do? You're going to let the flesh take over? You're going to let that voice just keep screaming and throwing its little tantrum? Or are you going to put it in its place? You're supposed to put your flesh in its rightful place, which is below your spirit. That is the governing authority in your three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. Who's last? The body, the flesh. Your carnal man is supposed to be on the bottom of the totem pole. Right? So you have complete authority to tell your flesh what to do. That is the God-given divine order of things. Amen. Submission does not remove personal responsibility for your actions or decisions. We must be very discerning when someone comes to us using the phrase, God told me to tell you. Right? Anybody had, comes, God told me to tell you, or I feel the Lord telling me. It's like, yeah, I want to receive things from the Lord, from people, but at the same time, I need to have discernment and not just swallow everything that comes my way. Right? I need to put it to the test. This is what God tells us to do. Judge the word spoken. Right? Everything I'm saying from the pulpit today, you should judge it. You should look, what does the word of God say compared to what he's saying? Okay, it lines up. Okay, I'll receive that. If you don't know, you should put it on the shelf and research it until you know. And then once you know, then receive that word, right? Because it's important to have a correct belief system, right? It's like, I don't just believe everything everybody says. You'd be a madman. You'd be a schizo, crazy. You'd be off the wall because everybody would contradict. If you believe everything that everybody says that's contradicting, you would be a contradiction in every single thought you had. It's nuts, right? You can't do it. So don't just take everything everybody says, compare it to the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard which everything is judged by. So the more Word of God that you have in you, the more you can actually receive because the more you can compare and take in right away. If you don't have the Word of God, you're sitting there thinking, is this right doctrine? Is this wrong? And you just don't know. And so everything's on the shelf. When a lot of that stuff is supposed to be in here, in your spirit, but you can't receive it yet because you don't have the Word. You got no way to compare if it's right or wrong. I just don't know if that doctrine's right or wrong. Well, get in the Word and you'll find out. You'll take it from, and if it's wrong, you can just cast it out. Boop. All right, don't even think about that anymore. That's settled. Amen. I like have things resolved. I do not like things sticking on that shelf. I have a million things in my cabinets and on my shelves just sitting there when it could be put into use, right? There is all this stuff, all the Word of God, it could be put to use in your life. It can do amazing things, but if you have it on your shelf still because you won't get in the Word to verify that it's right or wrong and just and truth, well, it's not going to be doing you a whole lot of good on the shelf. It says he wants to make you thoroughly equipped. Well, it's going to be needed in you to be part of your equipping, not over in some book somewhere and some doctrinal shelf that you have. Submission never calls for you to compromise your integrity or violate God's word. God doesn't call us to submit to sinful activities. When you don't agree with someone who might be leading you to compromise your integrity or violate God's word, you respectfully decline. We must submit to God's words first and foremost. Submission does not create bondage. You know, God desires freedom for the believer, and true submission offers this freedom. You know, a lot of people think of that word submission as like captivity, as bond. You know, it's just the way society, I'm sure, thinks of it. But that's not the truth of it. Right? When you have a submitted household and your kids, what does that provide for your kids? Stability, safety, protection, boundaries. It gives them a safe space to actually operate in when they submit to you. When they go outside of that, all of a sudden now they're in danger all the time, right? They're doing stupid things because they don't, they can't make those decisions yet. They're not ready. They're just not ready for that. And so when you stay inside the bounds of God and submit yourself to God, you stay within his safe bounds to operate. Because a lot of times we just don't know better. Until you do some things and fall into something, oh, man, I wish God had told me not to do that. Well, it's in his word. If you had read that, you probably wouldn't have done it. But you just kind of went and did and tested it out yourself. I'd rather learn from the good experience and bad experience of others. This is why God has all these stories in the Bible, right? Why does he have all these stories in there? All the examples of how they messed up and also how they succeeded. And we can glean from that and say, well, how did they do it? And where did they mess up? Oh, now I can not mess up in my own life because I'm about to run into this same situation. I'm about to get married. I'm about to do this. I could learn some things from these people that have been married, right? Better to learn from other people than to have to try out everything new for yourself. That's a good thing about, I have five sisters and a brother. I learned a lot from their relationships and their deeds and how the party life treated them. Not so well. How the dating life treated them. Not so well. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be any part of that. Their life is a wreck, right? All this breakups and like dramas, like heartache, depression, like sad, like man, it was a mess. So I've seen a couple of them go, they're like, first you want to beat them up because you're the brother and you're like, man, they better treat that sister right, you know? But it's also like, well, what are they doing hanging out with this person? They should know better. Their character stinks. I can tell that, and I've only been with them for a couple hours, you know? What were you thinking? Right? It's like, you can learn from people. Learn from their mistakes. Learn from their successes. It's a better way to live life. So submission does not create bondage. It's a positive thing when you submit yourself. Throughout the years, the term submission has been abused, causing a great pushback. However, God set an order for submission that would bring protection to his children. He never intended for submission to bring bondage. His way always brings freedom to those in bondage. Amen. Amen. It's freeing to be under Christ. Am I experiencing that freedom? Oh yeah, lots of freedom in Christ. But guess what? For those that are submitted under Christ, because then I'm reaping his benefits. I'm reaping the inheritance, becoming a son and daughter of the Most High. All these things, it's like I'm receiving from being under submission of him. It's a great thing to be under submission of someone that is loving and kind, right? One more thing, submission is not submitting only to those who you find worthy. Whoever you are called to submit to will never be worthy in their own merit. There will be those God asks you to submit your will to that you may not necessarily want to be friends with. You might not believe that they have earned the right to your submitted heart. This is when God is truly the only one worthy of our submission. Keep in mind that everything God is asking us to do is based upon what Christ has already done. Christ is not asking you to do anything he did not do. Right? Oh my God, it's really hard to submit. Well, he says, I know. I had to submit to the Roman Empire. You think he wanted to do that? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the earth, and they're doing all these wicked things, I'm sure. You think he wanted to submit to their laws and their rulings? Oh no, his flesh didn't want to do that. He had a better way. I'm sure he could have run things way better than them, but guess what? He didn't break one Roman civil law. Not one. Whose laws did he break? All the religious laws. He had a heyday with some of the religious laws. But guess what? His law was from the... He knew the word of God better than most of them. Right? And they were making these ridiculous laws that really weren't in the law. They're making laws upon the law that God never even set up. Or misconstruing what that law represents, right? I can interpret the Bible to make it say whatever I want it to say. And say, well, I'm the leader of this church and I'm making the word say this. Now you have to submit to that. Well, no, if it's a twisted version of the word of God, you don't have to submit to that law. And that's what these Pharisees and these people were doing. Oh, better not heal on the Sabbath. Where did God say that? Oh no, but that was there. Well, they didn't. They never had healed anybody, so they didn't even wasn't even a thing to them. But when people started getting healed, oh, well, We should probably find a law that he forbid him to do that. It's ridiculous, right? So he was still subject to the word of God, but not these religious, hypocritical laws that these Pharisees were trying to set up and to trip him up with. All right. So even Christ submitted. He's our example. He's not asked to do anything he didn't do himself. Jesus honored God by submitting to his plan. In Matthew 20:28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Why are we still here? To serve others. To serve God and to serve people. Right? That's the whole kit and caboodle right there. So if we're going to learn anything, let's learn to submit to God so that we can be good servants to one another. Without submitting to God, you'll never serve anybody to any substantial degree. Right? If you, Bible says, you want to be an effective witness, get full of the Spirit of God. Well, how are you going to do that? You're going to do that by submitting to him. And the more full of the Spirit you are, the more you can dish out his love and his goodness and his peace, because it's all his, right? I can't produce faith in me. I can't. It's not my faith. It's not my love. It's not my patience. It's all his. I receive all of it from him. So when I submit to him, I receive all those things. And then when I have all those things, I can actually give all those things out. That's why the world can't offer you those things, because they didn't receive that from God yet. It may look like love. Oh, they did a good deed. They're acting in such love. No, they can't operate in the God kind of love. They're operating in a worldly love where they're trying to deal with their guilt of all the mess ups and things. Well, if I just outweigh some good with all this bad, maybe I can live with myself. Well, that's not operating what godly love is. Godly love is just doing it because you want to bless them, because you love them, right? So a lot of people, the world doesn't have the capability of the God kind of love until they receive Christ, because that's where we get it from. Same with all of us. We did not love one another truly until we loved like the world does, really selfish love. It's like, yeah, you may still be doing good things, but it's with selfish motive, and that's the kicker. God wants us to do it with good things, good motives, to actually just help someone else, not to benefit us somewhere down the road or yada, yada. Amen. What time are we at? I know I can. I kind of like a 11:45. Oh, that glare is like, what? So you see me dodging and weaving. I'm not dodging your eyes. I'm trying to look at the clock. All right, so how should Christians submit? Charles Spurgeon wrote, out of love for Christ and our gratitude for his work of salvation, Christians choose to submit their way, wills, affections, thoughts, desires, and understandings to God. In all matters of submission, our conscience guides us to obey. So like I said, the beginning of this whole submission thing, you need to have a willingness, and then out of that willingness, it will lead you to obedience. So how are you going to get to this submission level? Again, back to that starting verse we said. Well, you're only going to walk in the flesh if you're looking at things in the flesh, right? But if you set your eyes and your focus and your mind on the things in the Spirit, now you will have the opportunity to actually start to submit to them. If you don't even know they exist, you can't submit to an imaginary figure, right? To an illusion that you don't even know exists. Right? Well, that's what the Word of God, when you read and set your focus on the Word of God and on his ways, these things start to appear. They start to manifest, and now you can actually submit to them and operate in them. Right? So get in the Word, get in his presence, get in communion with him, and then he will start to give you right desires. Right? It all kind of starts with this desire thing. It's like appetite. You know, it's like if you're doing fasting, it's like you can eventually get to the point where you have no appetite for food anymore. Well, how do you get to that? By starving yourself. Well, in the opposite case, how do I increase my appetite for God? Well, you consume more of him. Very natural, right? How do I gain weight? How do I gain mass? How do I increase my appetite while you eat more, right? If you, me, I'm trying to gain weight, so I need to stuff my face even when I don't feel like eating anymore, right? For the sake of increasing my appetite. So when I do go to eat the next time, I'll eat a little more. And the next time, try to go beyond my limits and then eat a little more. Or eat more frequently, right? In quantity and in volume, right? Well, if you want to submit to God, you need to get into his presence, right? Get into him more, and you'll start to see those results. Amen. So who has God placed us under? Let's think personally in your own life and start to make this list. Who has God really placed me under? Right? Because if you haven't submitted to anybody, well, now's a good time to start. Right? If you don't know, well, who should I? Well, let's think about it. Right? First off, when you're born, who should you submit to first? Your parents. God commands this. He says, I'll even give you long life for those that honor and submit to their parents. I'll reward you with long life. Right? That's where we first learn this idea of submission and authority, to honor them. What about next? Well, chances are you're going to be going to school, you know, in kindergarten. Well, now who's the new authority? You go from, you kind of transition where you partner with the schools, and now you need to start to learn to strangers that are teaching to the teachers, right? Now, hopefully, maybe in between there, you're able to teach them about God, and maybe, you know, you can be led to the Lord as a kindergartner, as even younger than that. You can get saved early, even as a child, and start to teach them how to submit themselves unto God, right? Teach them biblical ways, right? So first your parents, because that's just how it's going to be, and then hopefully God next. And then when you send them off to start going to school, they're going to need to learn to submit to teachers, right? Well, how about after school, once you're done with teachers? When you get out of school, well, maybe you go to college or maybe you go to a workplace. Well, by then you probably need to probably learn some things about submitting to the authorities, right? You don't want to get in trouble with the cops. You need to learn how to obey the laws. So you need to learn, it's kind of before you leave high school, you want to be sure you know the laws and how things operate, right? When you get your driver's license, submit to the instructor, right? You're submitting yourself to everybody that's teaching you things. It's like there's so many people that God places over you at certain times in your life. What about when you're, as you're growing up and your parents are bringing you to church, who should you submit to? Well, the ushers, the teachers, the pastors, a lot of these figures, the leaders, that basically the ministry team, God wants you to submit to their authority. If your parents aren't around, yep, no running in the hall, right? They should submit to that, right? Because that's the rule of the house. So what about as an adult? Who are we to submit to? Well, if you're working, your boss. Well, if you go to church, your pastors, your leadership team. So Pastor Jen and Pastor Clayton, you know, to me it's an honor to submit to them. I love them. Like, I know they have my best interest at heart. It's like she is actually called to be a pastor. I've been under quite a few people who are not called to be pastors trying to pastor a church. And they just don't have the pastor's heart. And it's like, even regardless, if I'm choosing to go there, I should submit myself. Regardless of maybe they're in the wrong calling or saying the wrong things or different doctrines. Yeah, I may agree with certain your doctrines, but I know the word of God in this area. I'm not going to agree with that doctrine. But at the same time, be respectful, be polite, be in loving, be in mercy, because guess what? You didn't always believe the correct doctrine at one point either. You probably still don't. Probably things that are off in your doctrine. Well, should people stop coming around you and communicating with you because you believe a different doctrine than them? Because they have a more understanding of the word? Well, no, we don't want that either. So there's this middle road in submission, finding a healthy place to be. You know, in everything, the hard thing in life is finding the correct balance in everything. Because you can be in one ditch in every single area. One extreme or the other, or you can be in the middle. It's like, it's very hard to be in the middle of all the doctrine at the right place. It's like I can, you know, as far as Pastor Jen and Clayton, it's like if they were to tell me, you know, start telling me where I should work and how much I should invest in this and what I should do with my money, is that what God put them in a place and authority to tell me? No, I'm subject to God in regards to my finances, right? So for them to come and try to tell me those things and try to make me subject me to those things, they would be out of line, right? And so just because someone tells you something doesn't mean they're in the right place to tell you about that. Now, they always judge it to see if there's truth in it. But again, know who is above you and what kind of things they should be instructing you or correcting you on, right? I shouldn't be, you know, if I'm just a member of the church, I shouldn't be telling you, you need to be doing this in your life, you need to be doing that, you need to be doing that. Now, if the pastor sees a moral fault in you and it sees you slipping and it's causing destruction in life, God has placed her to watch over your souls and to come and bring correction, instruction, or rebuke to you. That is their place. And so when the pastor comes and corrects you in something or rebukes you in something, you should actually receive that. But if another member who has no authority over you tries to come and do that, it's really not their place. It'd be better if someone in authority who actually is their place to do that actually did that. Now, again, be humble. They may say something that's truthful that may actually help you. But guess what? They're out of line. But that's between them and God, right? But if that comes across your path, well, you still heard the word, whether or not it's through the right source or not. So again, you're subject to the word. So just learn the boundaries of the people that you are under, right? When it comes to your boss, you know, do they have the right to force you to do certain things that are non-job related? No, it's, you know, oh, you need to go discipline your kids. You need to go and walk more. And, you know, who knows? Stupid stuff. It's like they don't have that. You haven't given them place and authority in your life to try to subject yourselves to non-work related things. But if you're there and they have a task that's job related and communication that's job related, yes, you need to submit to that. But when they're trying to tell you things that are beyond their level of authority, yes, you do not have to submit to that. But again, be respectful. Say, no, you're reaching beyond your bounds, and that's not your place to say. You know, you can be respectful about it. You know, say, well, you have no business telling me that. And not like, why get angry about it? Just tell them respectfully, no, you don't have, you're not in the authority to tell to speak that kind of stuff in my life. Now, if you want to tell me to go do this or that, that's work-related, have at it. Right? So there's so many different examples, you know, those in the army, you know, your president, does he have the right to tell me that I can't bear arms? Well, it's a governing authority. Well, guess what? What's his authority? You know, there's something above the president, above the Senate members. It's called the Constitution. They are public servants to enforce and enact the Constitution of the United States. That is the law. The president is not the law. The Senate is not the law. The Constitution is our law in America. So if they're trying to tell me to do something that is beyond the law, they are outside of their bounds. They're going to tell me I can't come to church and worship my God? That is beyond their bounds of authority, and I do not have to obey that. You want to tell me I don't have the right to bear arms? Well, if you put it in law, yeah. But that's not the law. Law says I can right to bear arms, and the government cannot infringe my rights upon that. So know the laws. Know who's in authority, what place they have to speak on different things in your life. It'll help you. It'll prepare you. Because these people will come to you and tell you things. All right? And if you're just always resistant to people you're submitted to, it's not, God does not look on that favorably. Right? You honor God by honoring the people that he has placed over you. A very important key. If you want to honor God and be in his favor, honor and favor those that he has put over you. Respect them and listen to the things that you should be listening to them under. Amen? It's an important thing to God. It was important to Christ, right? Christ submitted to the Father God. He submitted to the Roman authorities, right? He didn't slip up in that area, and we shouldn't either. If we want to walk like him and love like him, that's what it's going to take. So I got more I could definitely go through, but I think reached a good spot here. So again, if you want, if you didn't get the chance to have the notes, you have some more made? I'm probably going to, I'll get a sign-up sheet, and you can put your email on there, and I can email you the notes. But I'll keep trying to bring notes for you guys just so you can take it home and actually study it and try to, you know, do your best to apply that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just